welcome to Safety First with Danger Tate.
All right, what's up, Gear Garagers, and welcome to the first ever episode of Safety First with Danger Tate. I'm Tate, if you couldn't tell by the hat, and this is our first ever episode, so I'm super excited. Let me take the hat off. It doesn't quite fit with the headphones. But today, we are going to talk to Ashley Wise for the first part of our interview series that is this show. So Ashley Wise is the director for Alaska Knowles, and today we're going to talk a lot about how he got into the industry and then what Knowles is in general, and then we're going to get really into pack rafting and their exciting new courses that they've got coming up in 2025. So let me bring Ashley to the stage. Hey, Ashley.
And hey, I guess
it's Ash, so we'll go by that. Sweet. Well, Ash, I'd love to just hear a little bit about how you got into the industry, how you found the outdoors, and kind of where you're from.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I started, I think, like a lot of people, in those college outdoor programs. I was in Tucson, Arizona in the 90s and working for their outdoor program. And Knowles actually had a base in Tucson, on the outskirts of Tucson, and I had friends that were taking courses there. So it was a nice connection as I worked through, you know, the university outdoor program, teaching rafting and kayaking in Arizona on the Salt River.
Oh, fun.
And then as I was graduating, it's like, what do I do next? And I applied for the instructor course for Knowles at the end of the 90s. So almost, over 25 years ago.
So your and, intro to like the outdoors has always been through Knowles?
Well, I would say I was at a university program gaining experience I could take to Knowles.
Oh, cool.
So because you have to be over 21 to work for Knowles, I had kind of gotten that experience between 18 and 22, leading trips for the university students, and then took it to that next level in summer of 98, took a 30-day instructor course for Knowles. So that was for whitewater specifically.
Wow. Okay. And so when you started with whitewater, what were your main sports? Rafting or?
I started hard shell kayaking in the Perception Dancers, like the original kayaks. I was like the safety boat for the raft trips on the Salt River, like day tripping.
Okay, awesome.
In Arizona, and then started guiding paddle rafts and on the Salt River. So with that experience and actually leading whitewater canoeing as well, and it was a great fit because Knowles, their instructor course was canoeing, rafting, and hardshell kayaking. So I already had all those skills going into it.
I'm always so impressed with people who start rafting after kayaking, because I feel like rafting, reading water is way easier than in a kayak. Everything seems so much bigger and more intimidating.
Right. Yeah. And it was definitely school of hard knocks for me starting out in the steep, like Salt River rapids. I would flip over and had a really strong roll and didn't realize like, oh, I could have worked on my brace before the roll. So it took me a while to like.
That is my entire progression of like, I have rolled in some of the worst places because I was like, well, I don't know how to brace, but I trust the roll more.
The roll's going to work. Well, but those old Pro-Tech helmets really didn't cut it. So then I had a lot of incentive to get a good brace.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, then, so when you did the instructor course and it was 30 days, what made you think, okay, this is my career path? Like, is there a moment or?
Yeah, that's a great question, because if you don't know Knowles, it's a wilderness education school, international, and it prides itself on really good educators. Like the instructors are also good teachers. And I was so impressed with the folks that were teaching the instructor course and how they would present the information. It was also so well organized. They had ACA whitewater built into the curriculum. They brought the instructor. They had 4 days of river rescue. And then we did, like five sections of river around Utah.
Utah, fun. And what rivers?
The Yampa, out of Colorado, and then Gates of Lador.
Oh,
and
nice.
Desolation Canyon, a lot on the Green River, but we did like laps on the Green River.
Right.
And so I think I was just so impressed with one, as we've all had that educator that just you know, impresses you and you're like, oh, I want to emulate how they teach. I had that on the instructor course. And I still keep in touch with those instructors, you know, 25 years later, and just got to go on the Grand Canyon last year with a few of them. So
amazing
connection, you know, that you have. And then the skills piece, like, you know, becoming a hard shell kayak instructor, just like having your own pod of like novice kayakers and taking mm-hmm. care of them, like, is such an edge of learning, because you've got to be good enough to watch, like, go backwards basically.
Yeah.
And rescue mid rapid. So I loved like that engagement of like pushing my skills that way. And then, yeah, obviously rafting, living and sleeping on the rivers is just like so awesome. And that's a unique program because it was like, we were running 16-day trips, 21-day trips. So it wasn't just like Whoa. Weekend rafting. It was like, you're out there teaching novices how to kayak and how to lead. And sorry, to answer your main question, I love the fact that Knowles was teaching the students actually how to become river rafters themselves or whitewater kayakers. It wasn't just like, we're going to guide you. It was like, okay, now you're going to lead the pod and now you're going to row the oar frame and I'm going to teach you how to row. And
would you also work with the students on like interpersonal skills, or is it mostly all like skills based?
Yeah. You're right, because then you have all that camp time.
Right. A lot of living, camp time. Yeah.
And the cooking is always like a big, you know, communal piece, like the cook groups, rotations. As a leadership school, it's trying to teach those traits as well. It's like, how do you communicate with your group? How do you work through conflicts? Because it's not always going to be perfect out there. So for years, that was, and still is with Knowles, like the real strength of, like, you're not just learning the outdoor skills, you're learning the communication skills and you're getting feedback from your peers on how you did. Real honest feedback versus like, oh, that was great. You know, you like dig in more. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Did you find though, like in your normal life, would you just analyze every group interaction with like the Knowles mindset?
It's probably to the opposite for me. It's like, I do that for work and then at home, I'm like, oh, I'm going to let that go. But yeah. No, I know I appreciate that. I mean, my kids actually live at our Knowles campus and they talk about wanting to be Knowles instructors someday. So I'm like, oh, okay, I probably should not just brush things off, but like, you know, it's been a good, you know, to have them grow up around that community as well of good communicators.
So, I mean, yeah, I feel like they're going to be the ultimate outdoors people. I can't wait to see them in like the BAM Film Festival eventually. I'm sure I'll see them.
Yeah, I won't push it. Yeah.
Good, smart. After you did your instructor course, you've been Knowles the whole time through. And I'm assuming not only whitewater. So what other disciplines have you done?
Yeah, and it was cool. Within there, the 5 years of starting out with Knowles, I actually was the director of a university outdoor program myself in North Carolina.
Oh, cool. In Asheville or where?
It was in Greensboro, you know, kind of right in the center of North Carolina. And we did a bunch of whitewater in Western North Carolina. And so that was so cool that it could take the skills from Knowles. I'd never even been to North Carolina. And then I started like running my own university outdoor program. Oh, I think I was like 24 years old or something.
Amazing. That's awesome.
And then in the summers I would work for Knowles. And then around 2004, yeah, so 20 years ago, I came to Knowles full time, just like left that university programming, which is amazing. But as those of you who have been a part of that, it's like so challenging. You've got to work with a large administration. You've got to figure out your drivers for vehicles. Right. So I just missed Knowles. And so I came back to Knowles full time 20 years ago. And I was working hiking and caving and rock climbing canoeing. And yeah, I'm probably missing some. But mostly whitewater as well. Out of the Yukon, out of India. I just love that piece of Knowles as well. It's like, I never got tired of it. I was always traveling, lots of sea kayaking in Baja. So it's been something that's kept me engaged my whole career, basically.
Tell me about India. What was that like?
India was in 2011, and it was actually the first time that they had run the Kali River. They had done the Ganges for years. And so when you go, you have to go with a company, but you do get to guide your own boat. But then the Kali River was just amazing because we did have guides, but Knowles had never been there with students. And so I was leading that trip. And you know, you have the politics. The Kali River is actually on the Nepal-India border.
Okay.
So there were those pieces. Like some of the rapids were so long and so difficult. You couldn't even get close to them to scout. So I just remember like every day was just like, oh, you know, that adventure piece of I actually haven't been here before.
Right. And, like you're learning with the students.
I'm learning with the students. And yeah, and that was really profound. And again, I've stayed connected to some of those students. That's like pretty magical that you can have that, you know, experience. I only did that the India trip once, but they're still running it.
Are they? Every year?
Which is cool. Yeah, every year. So they've been doing it. That was 2011 was the first year that they did the Kali, and they've been running it. Knowles has been with their semester students.
So with how long were you on the river? Was it a multi-day stretch? I don't know the Kali.
Yeah, because they're not super long, we had actually 2 5-day sections on the Ganges and 2 5-day sections on the Kali where you would actually lap it. You would do one run. And that was nice. The second and then drive back up and start again. And so then I was like, okay, we know this rapid, but yeah.
You in rafts or?
We were in paddle rafts.
Okay.
And then we had some safety boaters who knew the river really well that were local guide companies. And that was nice that they could kind of like, you know, and there's communities along the way that live
fun.
There. So that was like super interactive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing like an expedition style trip like that, how much are you doing curriculum on the river? Or is it all just like, we're here, this is awesome, we're together?
Yeah, it's a ton of curriculum, but you've got to really mix it to be engage the students where they are, make sure that it's super interactive, mm-hmm. make sure they're not tired. But when you're beach camping, it's perfect because you've got like amazing models. Yeah, yeah. Whiteboards, yeah. Models that you can build. Like the key is to keep it short and sweet. And each day you figure out like, okay, we're going to do river rescue today and we're going to do some throw rope practice.
Oh, okay.
And then you do have some cultural pieces where you want to make sure that you're the students love that. Like what are the wilderness aspects and the, like what kind of animals are there? And in India, it's actually a big part of it is like the cultural history. So that's can be challenging when you haven't been there yourself. You're like trying to learn up as best you can, but also exciting.
You've mentioned like that there's the community aspect and that you still keep in touch with a bunch of students. Mm. If any time I've met someone and I've been in a group of people and Knowles comes up, you know, two people will raise their hand and be like, oh, I did Knowles. Like, oh, in fact, speaking of, we just got a comment, the Knowles River Rescue Guide written by Nate. Let me pop it up.
Yeah, Nate Ostis.
Ostis is a great resource. Okay, thanks, Maine Ale. Perfect. Many people know Knowles. And so do you think that it's just created that community based on like the expedition mindset or like the allure of learning? Or what is it about Knowles that makes it so family-like?
Yeah, I think it's the amount of time that you're out there. Even that I've taken Nate's 5-day, you know, river rescue course.
Uh-huh.
And even that is like, you're camping together. You're constantly pushing yourselves. So it's a combination of like the quality time that you're spending with people. And it's that level of instruction. It's like the class I took with Nate in Idaho years ago, you know, has stuck with me because he constantly pushes your skills. You know, I've taken a lot of kind of different classes and then Nate's, I was like, oh, this is the one. And yeah, he came up to Alaska. He's run some trips up here and we had him do some river rescue up here. But so that's, I think the biggest piece is that you're finding like the highest quality instructors. The students are really connecting with you because they're out there having never done something like that before often. It's amazing.
As like an instructor, I mean, you're the director now, but you instructed for a long time. For you, what was it like working with the same co-leader for a month at a time? Like, what were challenges that arose and like, how did you deal with them?
Yeah, and on whitewater trips, you had five total instructors.
Okay.
So then it's like your own little community of that you're trying to build just the instructor team. And I think the key, and Knowles does a really good job of building this in, is like, okay, every 3 days, you're going to do an instructor check-in with your group and actually document, like, how are things going? And that's amazing because you can come back at the end of a course and be like, yeah, that didn't work very well. And Knowles will push you on that. You have a debriefer of your course and they're like, okay, well, did you all address that on the course? And you're like, okay, next time I'm going to do better. So you have an incredible kind of written record that helps you as an individual instructor. Like, okay, next time I'm going to work on that with that instructor
team. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then your future briefer who works for Knowles gets to read that information too and says, oh, here, I see that you're working on these things. And
okay, so I love that. But yeah, also as a guide, I'm like, that kind of makes my heart beat fast because I'm like, but what about when I've made a really big mistake and I can't let it go or like move past it?
Well, I really appreciate that about Knowles is that they understand that's part of being in the wilderness. Like there's so many variables and there's no judgment. You know, it's like what Knowles is really looking for is like, how are you trying to improve in the future?
I see.
And certainly if it becomes this pattern, like, yeah, five courses, this happened. But if it's like, oh, that was a one-off, I'm really working on it. Yeah, there's grace there for sure.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little bit better. I think back to some of my trips guiding and I'm just like, oh, I'm glad that that is dead. Like that, I'm glad that's passed. As far as like the student side of things, you know, they're learning how to be leaders. So when in the course do you start kind of giving them the reins of like leading the course?
Yeah, well, that's a great question because I'll just use a 30-day wilderness hiking as an example, because that's like the classic Knowles course that, you know, you're on land, you can stop, you can work with your students. So really on day three of a 30-day course, you're like, okay, you're going to navigate today and you're going to navigate your peers. I'm going to kind of hang back. You've seen how we've done it. And so you're kind of the leader of the day. And they get a bunch of practice doing that because, you know, every 4 or 5 days they get to rotate and try again. And then by the last week of your 30 days, you're basically saying, okay, we're setting you up for your own independent expedition now. We've taught you first aid. We're going to make sure you have like proper communication devices and you're going to plan your own route and you're going to kind of nominate your leader for that individual. So we'll split the group into like four or three like pods of students hiking. And so the whole trip is actually geared towards them managing their own individual like wilderness expedition. And with whitewater, it's a little trickier because it's not like, okay, here are the boats. You got this.
Right.
But we certainly do as best we can to be like, yeah, in the rafts, like, okay, you all are going to lead the scout of this really tricky rapid because you've seen us do it. And then we'll kind of give you feedback on how that goes. So we give as much, you know, leeway as we can. Like, do you think this is a rapid that we can run or should we line this rapid? You know, we'll put those types of decisions in there.
And do hopefully you ever have to, do you ever have to step in and be like, stop, pause?
I know, I think with canoeing, I definitely had to do that a few times because canoeing is such a tricky craft that's super unstable, as you can imagine. And lining is always like, okay, we know we can line a canoe. It actually tracks pretty well lining. Yeah. And so sometimes there is this like, oh yeah, we got this, we're going to run it. And then I'm looking at it like, well, what happens if you wrap a canoe on a wilderness trip, it's like,
yeah, you're toast.
It's a real bummer. So I think I did step in a few times and it does create that awkward, like, well, why did you even ask if you were going to step in? So you really try and, you know, do your best to coach where they can see the challenges of the rapid themselves and make that decision. But yeah, lining is also so challenging that they're like, oh, well, let's just try it sometimes.
I'm just thinking about some of the classes that I've taught for Northwest and thinking about letting them make their own decisions and kind of the things that I've seen. And I'm like, okay, this could be worse, but we're like road access, like no big deal.
Right, right.
And so when you're out in the wilderness and especially like you're now based in Alaska, with the Alaska wilderness, how does that compare to other places that you've worked?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so then I moved up here full-time with Knowles almost 15 years ago because I came up and saw how much wilderness potential, how much river potential there was. And Knowles had been here at that point for 35 years, running trips on rivers and mountaineering and sea kayaking. That's when pack rafting was just like this ding. It's like the perfect craft because I'd managed so many like canoe trips in the Yukon or in Utah. And that's like a huge cumbersome craft.
Right.
And so what we actually, when I moved up here and started working is when we started pack rafting. So almost 15 years ago. And I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. It's like, you know, just over five pounds as a boat.
Yeah. Well, and that was my question is where was the technology for pack rafting even at that point?
Yeah. And so pack rafting had started roughly around 2000 in Alaska with alpaca and folks like Roman Dial. And so, yeah, about 10 years in, it was like, oh, these boats that are being made in Colorado are really whitewater ready. The material is strong enough. They have thigh straps that are designed to be able to brace. And at the time, you couldn't kind of unzip the rear of the boat and stick your gear inside. So we were we were like strapping our, 40, 50 pound backpacks on the front.
And then it's so top heavy.
And it was working.
Okay, good.
And what's nice about rivers in Alaska is that you can start. We had these incredible instructors who were kind of hungry for that because they loved the wilderness aspect of an old course. They loved like the kayaking and canoeing they were doing around the world. Right. We did canoeing in Australia and we were in New Zealand and in the Yukon. And so those folks were like kind of hungry for a craft that was like easier to manage. Versus if you flip a canoe and get it wrapped, you've got some problems.
Right.
But you flip a pack raft being 5+ pounds, you've already kind of taught that person, like, hold on to your paddle. That's key. We don't want to lose the paddle.
Uh-huh.
And we can help you get your raft to shore. So swimming out of a pack raft, and they're quite stable to begin with. It just opened up so much wilderness. A route that we used to take us like a month, we were able to kind of traverse and use the rivers to get through. So, that was the real attraction.
With that, walk me through kind of like, so are you hiking and then rafting, or like how much is hiking, how much is rafting, and like what style of river is it?
Yeah, great. I mean, that was a big part of it, was like scouting a route that's suitable for novices.
Right.
Because someone's going to show up and they have not been, they're not really have much hiking experience, and you add whitewater on top of that. And so
I can imagine like they show up the first day and they're so out of their depth. Like, how did they even end up at that course?
Right. Well, that was some of the challenge, was like convincing people like, yes, you want to go pack rafting, because it was so new to folks. Like our demographic is like 18-year-olds, and they're like, what's a pack raft?
Right.
So we were definitely had to work on how we were selling that. What you're asking is like the types of rivers. We were starting on wide braided, like glacial fed rivers that were off of a main road. And that's where you could kind of work. It was moving slow enough. You could work on your basics and, camping skills. And there's no rapids, really. It's just like stay in the channel, really nice camping. And we would do that for about 5 days. And then we would pack everything up and actually hike over for another 5 days to another river. And we would start high up enough that it was braided and shallow and small.
I see.
And so the river itself is really teaching you, because you're like following it from its source.
Oh, that's cool. Wow.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
In some cases. And then we call it the Talkeetna Traverse. It's the mountain range that's right near us in Alaska. And then we would traverse another 3+ days over harder terrain, like denser, there's no trails, as you can imagine, to a river that's more pool and drop and similar, actually not glacial fed, and is moving a little bit slower. But yeah, and you might have a link to our website. There's some photos of that, so we could maybe pull that up.
Let's do it.
And so, yeah, okay. That's a classic example, just this photo that's kind of promoting a few of our courses. That's the last river called Clear Creek. And, you know, it's moving pretty slow.
Yeah.
But we've got four instructors and, you know, 10 to 12 students.
The guy in the red, is that an instructor?
Yeah, Kurt Hotchkiss. He's living in White Salmon area.
Oh, really?
He's in Peru right now with some other folks from your area, pack rafting.
Cool. Shout out White Salmon. We love you. Yeah.
and that's what's so cool, Tate, is that these instructors started working for us over 10 years ago doing these courses, and they're still working with Knowles. And there's we're just bringing back pack rafting this year or in 25. Uh-huh. And they've been working, like I'm saying, I've been working for 25 years. They've probably been working for almost 20 years with Knowles.
Wow.
And we've been playing this long game of like, hey, the crafts are amazing. You can get your gear inside. They're whitewater outfitted. And we want it to come back to Alaska. And so we kind of did this big lobbying effort the last few years. Uh-huh. And pack rafting is more mainstream now. Like if a 18-year-old sees it, they're probably like, oh, okay, I've seen a pack raft.
I mean, and I've even seen a few pack rafts go off Houston. Like,
They're
around.
And now they're really whitewater ready, some of these designs, like class four.
Well, and so what kind of boats are you using? Is it these ones in the picture or are they?
Well, yeah, and this photo is pretty old, but it's a similar design. There's some original alpacas there. And then, as we scroll down, you can see you couldn't zip into the back of those boats.
Yeah.
But that's how we could start out on a kind of a glacial fed. And we're trying to bring pack rafting to New Zealand, probably starting in 26.
Wow.
So it's awesome. I mean, we love canoeing and expeditioning, but we know that pack rafting is more accessible because the student might go home and they're like, okay, that's me. I might want to invest in my own pack raft versus like, you're not going to buy an expedition canoe.
No, yeah.
Or maybe you are, but more likely.
So, you know, is it mostly 18-year-olds coming on these courses or, you know, who do you hope comes on the courses and who surprises you that come?
Yeah. So initially it was like this 18 to 22-year-old, kind of a smaller cohort on the 30-day trip because we do want them to have a little bit of experience versus like some of our courses have 16-year-olds. But that's kind of a narrow, you know, group. And so with this year we're actually offering an adult course that's designed to be ages 23 and over.
Cool.
And that's going to be a fly-in float out. Cause we work with a lot of bush pilots here. We have one that we've worked with for almost since the early 80s, who's still flying for us.
Wow. Same person or same company?
Same person. Yeah. Okay, Mike Meekin. He's amazing.
Shout out Mike.
I know. And Jimmy Carter was president when he started. So with us. But it's that type of relationship where he was with us when we started pack rafting. He's like, oh yeah, this will be a great lake for you to re-ration on. And then you'll hike over to this area. So he's been like an integral part of it.
Because knows the area so well.
He knows the area so well, yeah.
So with the adult, is this this isn't the first ever adult 23 plus course that Knowles has done, or is it?
Well, we've been working in the last 8 years or so, we've been doing a lot more adult courses that are shorter and designed for folks that don't have as much time.
Right.
So they're 7 or they're 10 days. And that's where the flights come in real handy because you can get right to the headwaters of a river in the Tuckeetness versus like we spent 14 days to get here.
Right.
And so we'll design a lake day into that, you know, to try and get some of those basic skills.
Right.
And it's kind of this reunion tour. Yeah. These instructors that have been working with us in those courses from, you know, 2011 and 2018, they're going to come back and work those again.
Right. How does the dynamic change when it's adults versus, you know, college age students?
Yeah. The adults tend to be more informed about what they're getting into.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's their like
makes sense.
Often their hard earned, you know, vacation money. Like, is this something I really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
So the expectations are higher. There's definitely more interest in like the natural history. They've been, and you know, more interest in just like getting to know other people and sort of finding, they really appreciate just talking with their instructors. And I mean, all students do, but like adults are like, you know, you're almost getting this like mentor or life coaching out there as well, because that you're giving them feedback on how that day went technically, but it's also like, hey, this is how you were communicating with your group. And like they maybe have never been given that type of feedback. So it's, I really enjoy the adult courses, and that's something I'm able to still, I'm still working courses, fortunately, but not many. But I, you can, and that's the cool thing about Knowles and continuing to work there. It's like, okay, I don't have time for a 30-day course anymore, but I can do 7 days and I'll go to sea kayaking in Baja, or I'll, you know,
And
I
is
wish
it
I could work.
once once you have like the basis for like, oh, this is how you run a course, this is that, can you kind of go into any discipline? Like,
And the seminar program at Knowles is this great kind of also benefit to being here, that it's like, oh, okay, you have some sea kayak experience, you're a whitewater instructor. Yes, you will essentially pay, like you can get down to Baja and we'll pay you to take a 10-day sea kayak seminar. And then we'll assess you or not, like based on your skills. And then that's how you kind of jump from skill to skill, is like you have to, you can't just be like, I know how to sea kayak, like sign me up. You need to show, you know, and get one of those evaluations that you're ready to work.
That's like
And so,
dream professional development. That's like
oh, it's amazing. And that, you know, yeah. And that's how I kind of bounced around with Knowles. I had experience from, you know, university programming, but it was like, okay, you want a cave? Like take our seminar. So.
So with, you know, just pack rafting the adult course, when are those taking place? Are there, is there still a college age student one, or are they both adult?
Yeah. So this summer of 25, the 30-day course is essentially the month of July, or just going into August a little bit. And it is 18 to 22. So it is basically designed for that like college age student. And then right after that one, 2 or 3 days later, and you know, for 10 days in August, early August, is the 10-day adult course.
And that's the fly-in.
And that's the fly-in. And it's in line with the adult courses that we've already been running, which are in Alaska. We're doing a lot of fly-in hike out. So this is essentially fly-in float out. So we're, and as I was talking to you know, adult students here over the last few years, they're like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Sea kayaking and hiking with you. I'd love to do something else. So that was incentive too. Like, well,
Okay, offer another type of craft.
yeah, and pack rafting, as you know, and as I know, that's like getting bigger. And in Alaska, there's other schools and programs that are doing like 1 day training, 3 day training. So this is also a nice, and those clients are saying like, oh yeah, I'd love to do something longer. So we're trying to, like, because we have that logistics experience, we can be like, yeah, we've got the pilots, we know the route.
Within a,
We have the boats for you. Yeah.
like within Alaska, if there's like 100% of the state, how much is Knowles in, like, percentage wise? I don't even know.
I know. I mean, percentage wise, it's tough because we are essentially south central, near Anchorage, and we've got the Chugach Mountains and we've got the Talkeetnas, and then we're mountaineering up in the Alaska Range. So it's like all of the heavy or larger mountain ranges, and even into the Wrangells. We were traversing the Wrangells, the largest national park, if you count St. Elias with it, with pack rafts and novices. And even other guide companies in the Wrangells were like, how do you do 30 days like pack rafting? But we just had that kind of relationship. So percentage wise, it's like we're in the heart of the mountains, the glacial mountains. And then we used to go to the Brooks Range. We're trying to go back to the Brooks Range, but that's like the larger percentage of the state is like farther north and does have incredible rivers, but we're not up, we're not off. We used to canoe up there. But yeah, I'm hoping with pack rafts, we can
Do
start
more.
kind of with our couple of trips. And then Knowles is hoping, you know, not just to be a niche programming with like the same six instructors. It's like, okay, let's bring it to other locations. Let's get more instructors involved. So that's the long game, is it's like to broaden it to other locations.
And I mean, you said something and my jaw literally dropped of like, you're exploring a mountain range with pack rafts with novices. I can only imagine. I mean, I've never, I've pack rafted. Actually, I did do a pack rafting trip that was pretty awesome on the Escalante, and it blew my mind. But I made the mistake of wearing Chacos for that awful hike out, like the sandy up and then lifting. I was so miserable. But you know, doing that, it was, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, well, it's light. I'm like, Chacos are the heaviest sandal. I love them, but they're so heavy. Anyway, beside the point. But how do you, like, as an instructor, comfort the people that are really nervous and scared and are like, I've never done this before, but I really want to do it? Like, how do you, when they're just like break, like when they reach their breaking point, how do you help?
Ooh, yeah, that's, I mean, it's true that sometimes it's just not meant to be. Like, we do our best and it's like, ooh, I'm in over my head. I'm not that comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we will, it's by choice, you know, programming. We're not going to be like, you have to stay. So there is that element to it that they're certainly like, okay, that person's on the next re-ration by plane, they're going to go out. But yeah, comforting the majority of the 95%, the 98% that stay on the course. That's like the real, you know, challenge and what Noel's instructors are so good at. I think it starts with just how experienced those instructors are, because that's where you gain the confidence. It's like, all right, I'm really nervous. We're doing a river crossing here, but I can see that this team is like lined out all the safety. I mean, in the wrangles, like just trying to get across a river, not even, that's not runnable with a pack raft, would often take a pack raft just to ferry across the river. And so you'd have to show that team, those students, like, yeah, we're not going to run this. We know we're not ready for that, but we do need to cross it. And it's going to take all day. And this is how we're going to do it. And so I think it's, if you just like communicate clearly with what you're doing, obviously, and then they get to examples of like, wow, that's how serious they're taking the safety and the risk management on the course. Is like, they used boats, they used lines, they had backup throw bag people, you know, we're wearing all the gear we need to wear. Because in the middle of these wilderness areas, you can't afford for a huge swim or losing gear. So,
and have you as an instructor had it where like, in your head, you're freaking out. You're like, this could go, this might not go, but I'm going to just stay really calm for the students. Like, have you had experiences like that?
Yeah, I mean, all over the place. That's that's kind of what keeps it exciting. And, you know, just speaking of Escalante, like some of those slot canyons where near the Dirty Devil and stuff, where we're using technical gear. Not with pack rafts yet, I'm hoping, but
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. It's like some of these narrow slots are so challenging, and it's like, this might go, and we have just enough gear, and it needs to go because we're already committed. We're in a slot canyon. And so that just pushes all of those skills. It's like, how are we going to build this anchor? It's just on sandstone. And so that kind of knife edge of like, you know, you're hyper-focused. You make sure you have plenty of food and you've got your headlamp. Like, that's the key, is you just need to have the gear. You can't be like stuck out overnight. So all of our course,
You're doing that with students.
Like, you're doing that with students,
That's so wild.
It's amazing. And then those are those life experiences. Like, that I had a student from a Canyons course. He like drove up here from, you know, Lower 48 with his dad. And like, this was the first place he came and he wanted to see me. I hadn't seen him in like 15 years. And it was from like a canyon slot course. He's like, yeah, that meant so much to me.
Wow.
So you're, you know, that's the hook, is like, you're providing that type of skill and education to our future generations. And you're training a lot of future whitewater folks. And like, that's, that pack rafting is an incredible way to get into boating. Like, okay, I think I can run class three now in this in this craft. And the boats, now we've been working really closely with Alpaca. Has been amazing, you know, small company in Colorado, but because they worked with us before years ago. And it's like, we're going to do self-bailers. We're going to be able to store our gear inside now. And that's going to make the boat even more stable. And yeah, it just, it feels like a, And for Knowles, it's, you know, it was such a smaller type of program for years. It was like, oh, we don't really know about pack rafting. And I've just been this, like, as I've gotten into my director role, like, hey, this is something we really want to bring back because we right. are the, like, we have the skills and we have the instructors that can run this. And it keeps instructors engaged, Tate.
That's like, what I was going to ask too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that piece that you were mentioning of like, does this go? How am I going to manage this? That's what keeps instructors engaged. Just, you know, you want for your professional development, not just be mm-hmm. like, oh, we're running the same river and it's the same level. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, there it was flooding last night. Like, what has that done to the river? And
right.
if we come around the corner and there's a bear on the long side of the river, what are we going to do? Yeah, there's all sorts of like challenges.
Okay, speaking of bears, I mean, when I think Alaska, I think of all the movies that I've seen about like the salmon run or the bears or
yeah.
the guy that got eaten. You know, like, how do you deal with wildlife on the expeditions?
Yeah, the bears are amazing because you can see them in their natural habitat. And almost every hiking course on a 30-day trip, the goal is to see bears from a distance.
Amazing.
And, you know, and travel in large groups of three or more.
Okay.
And be loud. The bears want nothing to do with it. You just don't want to spook them.
Right.
And on a river, that's a little trickier because the river's loud.
Right.
So you've got your bear spray handy. You definitely have, you're just constantly, you know, scouting along. But most of the rivers, except for that last one in the photo, are more wide open and you can like see what's along the banks. But it's a highlight.
Have you had to spray bear spray before?
I have not. I've had like hand on the holster type thing, but I've never had like a bear charge me, but we've had bears sort of like sniffing and like, and then you're just, you know, you stand up as your group, you've made sure you're all close together and the bear's just like wants nothing to do with like a large loud group. So yeah, okay, it's just how you manage like it.
That's comforting for all the people who are listening, who are scared of bears and don't want to go in the Alaska wilderness. I feel like for as many courses as you've done, if you haven't had to deploy bear spray, it's pretty good.
And it's a highlight for students to have that interaction, like to see a bear in the distance right. and like learn about the ecology of bears and yeah, versus like be afraid of them. No, it's pretty amazing to see the megafauna out there. Essentially, they're just like massive.
Bear is my favorite animal. So I feel like I would actually start to cry if I saw one. I see them on the Rogue. We see them less and less, but a grizzly bear, that's on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just take one last look at this website just so people can kind of see, you know, where they need to go with the pack rafting. So if I wanted to, how would I do it?
Right. The website, if you scroll down, this one actually has the link maybe halfway down. We'll keep scrolling.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
Essentially, those are the two courses that you just passed. That are right above. So if you scroll up.
Oh, one, right here. Okay.
Right here. And yeah, so we've got our adult course on the left.
Okay.
And then those are hyperlinks. Yeah. And then the 18 and says 18 and over 18 to 22.
Oh, perfect. Here it is.
Yeah. And so we've been on, you know, trying to work with Alpaca and get on social media more and really raise that awareness that because students love our combo courses. Like we do these sea kayak and hike courses mm-hmm. in Alaska. And they're like, oh, that's amazing. I get to do something mm-hmm. for 14 days in Prince William Sound. And then I'm hiking. And I'm like, this is a combo course. You're hiking. Mm-hmm. And so that's the trick is like, you're not always in that raft. Mm-hmm. You know, you roll it up, put it in your backpack, and then you move on to the next river. And that's like an incredible way to see the terrain. And what's born out is that you actually cover so much more, as you can imagine. Like trying to walk along a riverbed will take mm-hmm. 5 days, what our pack raft course can do in like one day. And so you're just mm-hmm. like the miles that you can make up because the terrain's so dense.
Well, and I think it's just so cool because I mean, my whole life revolves around rivers. I mean, I moved here for kayaking. I guide in the summers, right? Like I think the more people that can just experience rivers and the magic of them, but then also, I mean, after hearing all this stuff about Knowles and just understanding like the expedition mindset and like the life experiences and the problem solving, I just think it sounds really cool. And I think it's going to be cool to see like the people that walk away with, you know, the knowledge they gain from it, like what's their next step or, you know, what new doors are going to open. So it's been amazing to hear about this. It makes me want to go find a pack raft. So, and it makes me want to go to Alaska. Honestly, I think that's, I'm like, oh, okay. Alaska in the summer. That sounds amazing. So, yeah.
That's what brought me here. It's like, yeah, once we're still coming up with new routes. I mean,
which is so fun too. I mean, that there's so much to do there. And I mean, I think your passion for pack rafting and just exploring the new places with students, which still kind of blows my mind, that the students are a part of it is really cool. So I really appreciate you sharing it all.
Oh yeah. My pleasure. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ash. And this concludes our first ever episode of Safety First with Danger Tate. So let's see if now I can end the stream. All right. Thanks, Ash.
All right. Take care.